Well, this week, Chicago welcomes back the Smash West End and New York comedy Potted Potter, the Unauthorized Harry Experience. It's a parody created by Dan Clarkson and Jefferson Turner. The duo, Dan and Jeff, created this show first as a street performance that morphed into a stage show and now into one of the more popular touring shows around the world. The show crams all 7 Harry Potter books into 70 minutes. The show's been around for the better part of a decade, and the creators are still doing the heavy lifting. Of course, Harry Potter continues to be one of the biggest series of books in literature history, and a new play is set to hit Broadway in the spring. And one of the great things about this show is that every year a new generation of readers are introduced to the world of Harry Potter, which means more audience. Potted Potter is on stage at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower through January 21st, already extended. And it's my pleasure to welcome Dan and Jeff to the Download. Guys, thanks for being here.
Good evening. Thank you. That was the best introduction we've ever had.
Yeah, good. Welcome back to Chicago. It's your third time coming through.
You know, when
you guys obviously do so many different cities and you, like I said, do most of the heavy lifting, do you get a chance to spend some time in the city or is it pretty much you do the show and you're out?
No, we do. Our first time here, we were here for about a month. So, yeah, we had plenty of time to check everything out. We both completely fell in love with Chicago. And it's been a long time since we've been able to come back. So
yeah, and this is our favorite city. And we don't say that everywhere.
No, just here.
Why it's our third time back. The thing about creating a show is you can go, yeah, I really want to go to these places.
Yeah.
It's like, Chicago again. Let's keep coming back here.
Can you... No, do you notice a difference between the different cities from around the country or in Canada or even in Europe and Britain when it comes to the reaction to the show?
Yeah, we definitely have favorites, and some are harder to get a reaction from the audience. And Chicago's fantastic. I mean, obviously, it sounds like I'm saying that because I'd say it anywhere, but it really is. The audiences are not shy in letting us know when they're enjoying it. So that's nice. Big laughs.
I love the origin story of this performance because
it starts as a street.
I know, right? It's fine. You can make up all you want. But I mean, it starts as a street performance, really in a way to celebrate what the 6th or 7th book that's being launched. But idea that essentially you made up a skit, if you will, outside of a line of people getting ready to buy
it.
Something.
Literally was. I think it was midnight for a London bookstore, and a friend of mine who was for a PR company knew we did silly things like this and went, hey, let's do Harry Potter. And we're like, yeah, that'll be fun. And so we were stood on the street at midnight in London entertaining this queue, and it turns out Harry Potter was quite popular. Who knew? And so by the end of it, we're going, okay, this could be something. And I think it was only 15 minutes originally that we did all 5 books, and then we took it to Edinburgh that year with only 6 books in it, and I think it was 60 minutes, and now we're 70 minutes, so we've given ourselves a little bit more time because we're getting older.
Yeah, yeah. We creak a bit now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, take us back to, you know, when you get that feel, when that emotion, riding that high, that you're on to something. Obviously, Harry Potter, even when you're starting a better part of 11 years ago, was a huge phenomenon, even at that point. When you went to Edinburgh and you went to the Fringe and you put this performance on stage, not just, you know, to the queue that's outside the bookstore, could you feel the excitement? You could feel what people were responding to it?
I guess there's this type of thing that you think you're funny, as we all do, and your mum tells you you're funny, but it's that first time going, will anyone else find this funny? Are we just going to have this room of silence as we come out going, hey, we're Harry Potter?
Right, like, right.
What are you guys doing? But the feel, and I think always with Harry Potter, the energy that you get from the audience, because we're coming from a place of love and it's real homage and we're geeky fans ourselves, and you get the fans coming to see it and you have this sense of it's for all of us and we're enjoying this and we're
community.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And so the excitement in the room is there as soon as you come on stage. So, you know, I mean, I've got to give some credit to J.K. Rowling. She came up with a good idea.
Right, really. Right.
And that first year in Edinburgh, we were in a room, 60-seater. So it was a small room and it was incredibly intimate. And so you really could hear every laugh and every lack of a laugh.
Yeah.
So it was a baptism of fire as well. We fine-tuned the show that year quickly.
To piggyback on the idea of parody, I mean, because it can come from 2 different places. It can come from love or it can come from hate. And then you'll see that in the best parodies we have. A lot of sketch shows and others will do a lot where they're really kind of making fun of the issue by parodying it. In this case, the parody comes from a place of love.
Yeah, if we'd come at it from the other way, we wouldn't exist anymore. The fans, Harry Potter fans, are something else. They wouldn't stand for it. If they thought we were on stage being cynical and literally making fun of the show, that we'd be booed off, we'd be thrown out of the city.
And I think for us, because you do it so many times, you have to love your material and you have to enjoy your material. This is why we've never done Twilight. Because they're awful books. but that's why. So, I mean, all the shows we've done have always come from a place of love, and that's how we've picked our subject matter. And we did initially adore the books. And that's, I think that's why we took the job on the street, was just to get to the book before the queue got to the book. I remember pushing children out the way going, excuse me, I'm very important. I want to read this before you.
That sounds like a joke. He really did do that.
Yeah. And now 10 years on, these children are bigger than me.
They're coming back for revenge. Well, it is, I mean, there's a long-standing tradition of parody in the UK. I mean, I know from my experience of going to the Edinburgh Fringe how many shows were at the Fringe Festival that had parody as at the center or the core of what they were doing. Where does that come from for you guys? I mean, are you guys, because you guys have had a lot of other projects beyond just Harry Potter, but talk about the art of the parody and being able to put that forward as a piece of art.
I think it, certainly in Britain, I know it's true of other countries as well, but certainly in Britain, we're big fans of poking fun at things we love. If someone, like sports teams or TV programs or singers that we like, it's fun to make fun of them because you're showing that you have a knowledge of it and you're showing that you're secure in your loving of that thing.
Sorry. And as British, we're bad at everything.
Yeah, yeah,
we're
never
first. You know, we came second in the War of Independence, you know. We messed that one up. I mean, we're just awful. So we have to be able to laugh at ourselves.
Right. But there's an art to it. I mean, there's great parodies we've seen. There's also mediocre to awful parodies, and we see that come out a lot as well. But you guys have been able to extend this show and have monster success off of essentially poking fun at, and from a place of love, this amazing piece or pieces of literature.
Absolutely. And I think the joy is, as you've said, is that there are new people coming to these books every day, which I find amazing. I also kind of hate them because we had to wait years for these books to come out. You know, the children will never understand that I had to wait 2 years between books 4 and 5 to get that next book. And they're like, no, I've got them all. I'm using my mum's copy.
Was that your impression of a child?
That was my impression of a millennial child. I can read all the books whenever I want. That's what they sound like.
In studio, the duo Dan and Jeff, Dan Clarkson and Jefferson Turner. They are the creative minds, the writers and performers of Potted Potter, the unauthorized Harry experience, 7 Harry Potter books in 70 minutes. It's at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower, running through January 21st. Opens on Friday, is that right?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow night. Dan and
You're
Jeff.
You're coming.
Yeah, I know. But I didn't know if the opening was like the day after the press.
You thought we were just doing it for you tomorrow?
I thought it was just me. Yeah. No, it's not happening.
Oh, no. We're going to disappoint you now.
There are other people there? Yeah. That's no fun.
We would have just come to your house in that case. Just done in your front room.
Plenty. We could do that too. Dan and Jeff, my guests, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, continue the conversation. Stay with us. It's Download Here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio tonight, the creators, writers, and performers of Potted Potter, the unauthorized Harry experience, cramming all 7 Harry Potter books into 70 minutes on stage at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower through January 21st, opens tomorrow. In studio, Dan Clarkson and Jefferson Turner. They are the duo Dan and Jeff. This show is, 11 years old? I mean, it's 2006-ish. Or, yeah. I mean, it's amazing to me that the show... it's not amazing that it was a success, but it's amazing that I know, right?
How?
I mean,
when you say that?
But the fact that you can continue to do it, and we kind of mentioned this before, this idea of new fans, that you can continue to make it fresh and new because the fans of Harry Potter are fresh and new.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, at the time, it was like Beatlemania for books, wasn't it? There was nothing ever like this before. I mean, the fact that we were saying earlier we performed this at a bookshop. This is a bookshop at midnight. It was just rammed with people screaming and going crazy. And, I mean, it was closest we ever felt to rock stars.
That first time in 2005 in the bookstore, we were expecting 100 people in the queue, maybe. And it was over 1,000 when we finally did the show at midnight. We were shouting ourselves hoarse. And the reaction we got back from them, we were going, oh, maybe there is something in this. You know, so maybe people do like Harry Potter.
And I think they're now parents. Because if you started reading the books, they came out, what, nearly 20 years ago?
Yeah.
So then your parents are now going, oh, I read these as a kid and now I can Parsons.
No, I mean, grandmothers. My son is 10 years old. He's reading them and he's getting his books from his grandparents.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, it's almost like the sort of Star Wars phenomenon that it's, and I love Star Wars too because I'm a geek. and it's great that that's now coming back. And it's just like there's almost this nostalgia now attached to Harry Potter, which is then making it even more popular.
And I think Harry Potter was, well, certainly the first series of books that I knew that were aimed at kids, but it was completely cool for adults to be reading. We'd have on the London Underground, you'd see grown adults sat without a care in the world reading the first Harry Potter book, and you know, you wouldn't have seen that before. You know, people would be a bit self-conscious. Yeah. And then the adult covers were made, they didn't look so much like kids' books, and so that was one of the great joys. Whatever age you were, you could enjoy the books.
I mean, this is a great British product, right? I mean, this is what
we had to have one.
Yeah. We had to have one, just one. But
and James Bond, that's all we've got. Too, yeah.
But it's amazing to me because in Chicago, there's fandom goes crazy for Harry Potter in the States. But but going back to England, I mean, is it bigger? Is the loyalty stronger for Harry Potter in its origin country?
I mean, I'd love to say yes, because, you know, we're British and we like to claim ownership. But it's like going, well, the British office is better than the American office, isn't it? But, I mean, it's not true. Like, you guys...
In that case, it is.
Yeah. You just do it bigger and better. Right. And, I mean, we were unsure when we first came here what the reaction would be. But the fans are just... I mean, they're incredible out here. And there's a level which we've never seen in the UK. Like, someone will wear a T-shirt in the UK and go, look, I like Harry Potter. Here, they'll come in full Dumbledore robes with the beard and the hat. And that's women. Yeah. And it's just like... Wow, you guys are awesome.
Yeah,
with this.
You guys aren't backwards and coming forwards.
No.
Whereas in England, there's still a bit reserved and still keep it a bit under our hats. But here, if you like something, you shout about it. And that's a good way to be.
Are the audiences different? I mean, when you're doing this show, do you have to be more sophisticated with a British audience? Because
this is our home. Yeah, right. Yes, because we all went to Oxford, and we're very well trained.
But because it's their home, it's the home of the product.
Yeah, I think the best analogy, I think, is we've got cricket to your baseball, and you go to a cricket match and everyone's very polite and we clap if somebody gets a wicket and we go, oh, well done.
And we stop for tea.
Yeah, where you go to baseball and it's this party and everyone's on their feet and cheering. And it's exactly the same because we play Quidditch in the show, and the British audiences, they're nice. They're going, yes, this is fun. We're playing Quidditch. Good. American, you guys take it to this new level of, I mean, I've seen dads push children who aren't their own out the way to get this ball into this hoop. I mean, you guys are out for blood, and it's amazing to watch.
It's great to see a grown man stand up. You can see his vision is clouding, and all of a sudden it's the Super Bowl, and this ball's coming towards him. It's like, this is it. This is what my life's been building up to.
And then that look he gets from his wife as he sits back down going, didn't I do it? She's like, no.
The show, as you talk about it's the unauthorized Harry experience. Have you had any experience with J.K. Rowling or the Harry Potter empire that says, let's slow your roll on this, on this parody?
Lovely. I mean, I think because they know it comes from a place of love, and you know, they are aware of us, and we've always talked with them, and we did get to meet J.K. Rowling, and I don't get starstruck easy, but she knew who we were, and someone that these are the Potted Potter guys, and she went, oh, you must be Dan. I was like, I'm Dan. And Jeff was giggling like a little girl going, he's like, right, so how's your show going? I'm Dan. And then that was it. She was like, okay, right, good, well, lovely to meet you guys, take care. And that was our big moment. But she was just incredible.
I'm sure it was as memorable for her.
Yeah. I don't think she was walking on the ground. I felt she just floated into the room, just like, oh.
You know, the style of show, and I've only seen clips of it, and I'm going to go see it this week, but, you know, it is tomorrow.
Like, I feel tomorrow. I need to keep reminding you.
Keep reminding me because I will miss it. Yeah. But, I mean, there's obviously the idea of 70 minutes or 7 books in 70 minutes, the pace has to keep going. But by design and what you guys do, you can almost feel the street performance out of it. The idea that the energy is playing to this massive audience that may not necessarily just be someone who sits in a theater seat. Is that the design of the show?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's breaking the fourth wall, then there's taking a sledgehammer and we smash it out of the way. And we've often said the audience is the third member of the cast. And I mean, that doesn't mean if you're one of these people sitting there going, but I don't want to join in. That's cool. You don't have to. We encourage if you want to shout out, if you want to, I mean, we have a lot of heckles, and especially children's heckling, I think, is the best in the
very
world.
Very honest.
Yeah, because our minds work from like A to B to C, where a child will go from A to G to F to Z and just shout out some of the most inane things. You're like, brilliant, let's do this for a while. Okay, this is where the show's going tonight.
Because we really aimed for it to be a family show. We really wanted sort of everything from 6 up, everyone to get something from the show, to enjoy the show. You can't expect the entire audience to sit still the entire time, because that might be great for a 55-year-old, but a 7-year-old, you know, sit in a seat without moving for 70 minutes, that's asking quite a lot. So it was important, that, as Dan said, for them to be the third member of the show.
Is it hard for you guys? I mean, your background, your children's programming at BBC, you've done a lot of different things. Is there an art to being a family-friendly show? Is there something as comedians, as parody artists?
I think I'm going to blow my own trumpet now. I think it's tougher because you can't curse, is one thing. I think a lot of go-to, and when I've written adult comedy, a lot of go-tos go, right, well, if I just write that word, that'll get the laugh. Whereas this, you've got to be clever and go, well, how can we achieve that same laugh or same moment, and how? And you find yourself going down surreal routes, which is often the result is better.
Yeah.
I think, hope so.
No, that's what I was going to say. You actually end up with a funnier gag because you've had to think about it more. At the time, it's a bit of a pain. But if you take the time to think of a non-rude way to get where you want to get, and it actually ends up as a better crafted joke.
But then you've always got that moment where you've spent ages crafting a joke and it gets an okay laugh, then you make a mistake and the crowd go on, you're like, brilliant. Right, so that's brilliant. All I had to do is trip up on the stage and that was it.
And we're not too proud to keep that mistake in from then on. It got a laugh.
Yeah, we'll do it again.
When you think about this show, which hat are you guys using more? Are you using the hat of someone who's had experience in children's programming, the hat of being fans of Harry Potter, or your comedy background, the background that has created this parody to begin with?
Can I say an all three hat? As it formed together in like a tricorn, if you will.
Tricorn, sure.
Yeah. Hamilton wears one of those. I hear that's a good show. I've been told I plug Hamilton more than our show. I'm just really excited it's here.
I think probably the comedy background is the one that comes off most, I'd have thought.
Yeah, and I think it's always important we aim high, so we never play down to kids, we never patronise the audience, so we go for the top level, and some things will go over the kids' heads, some things go over the adults' heads. I remember we made a joke once about Justin Bieber, and I saw this kid explain to his grandmother who that was, because she was like, I have no idea, sounds lovely. And I'm sure she looked him up when she got home and went, oh, well, he's lovely, isn't he?
Well, now I'm a believer.
As comedians, then, and being able to have such a successful show, besides the idea of maybe taking time off and letting other actors come in and stand in, how do you keep it fresh and exciting as two performers? I mean, the material is rapid fire, so there's not a lot of room in the piece to try new directions or improvise. So how do you keep it fresh and fun as the creators, the guys who wrote this thing?
Dan is not scared of changing something on the fly, and I've had to learn how to deal with that. And I think there's parts of the show that are structured and have to stay as they are for it to work, funny. There's bits that are looser, and Dan will do something different every night. And I can tell early on whether he's feeling mischievous or not, whether he gives me an easy ride or not. But
and I think like any good parody, there's a lot of pop culture references. Mm-hmm. And if we were doing the same ones that we had 11 years ago, people have been... I mean, we used to have one about Rihanna's umbrella.
I knew you were
going to
say that
one. Yeah, and if we still had that, and people go, really, guys? Really? You've still got this line
you're
in?
You're so with it.
Yeah. So that gets to change, and it's exciting to, you know... We may or may not mention a president of a country that...
Sure.
We may or may not, you know, it's just...
And
you
he's
know,
the gift that keeps
judgmental.
On giving, isn't he? So there's always something you can mention.
All right, the show is Potted Potter, the unauthorized Harry experience. It's a parody, 7 Harry Potter books crammed into 70 minutes. The show has been running a smash hit for over a better part of a decade, 11 years. Started as a street performance for a line queuing outside of a bookstore in London, and is now touring all around the world. And it's in Chicago through January 21st, opening tomorrow night at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower. BroadwayChicago.com is the website to get tickets. Dan and Jeff, my guests, Dan Clarkson, Jefferson Turner. Guys, thanks so much for coming in talking about the
No, thank you.
Appreciate it.